Thank you, and I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. So you're turning your Bible with me today to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And as usual, I'd like to recommend that you get a Bible. If you don't have one handy, get one and turn with us to the Scripture. And if it is not possible for you to get one, then I'd recommend that you write down the Scripture references. In our Bible study today, we want to continue with the thought on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and with fire. And this out of Matthew chapter 3 in the preaching and teaching of John the Baptist. Today, will you read with me from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul said, "We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." We have in the past put on the board up here the verses from Isaiah chapter 61. In Isaiah 61, if you will, turn there, please. Isaiah 61, a passage which Jesus Christ partially reads in Luke chapter 4. Isaiah 61, notice verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." There are two things involved in the passage. There is the acceptable year of the Lord, and there is the day of vengeance. Look in Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, Luke 4:16, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. He didn't include the day of vengeance of our God. So if I put on the board up here and I say, okay, here is the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his crucifixion is here, I'll put over here and I'll say, here would be Acts chapter 9. Paul is saved at Acts chapter 9. The Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul and preached the gospel unto him. And so Paul accepted Jesus Christ, believing that he died for his sins. Acts chapter 9. I come on the other side over here, and there's two 3.5 year periods over here, then the coming of the Lord, a total of 7 years in here. And so I'm separating off this period of time in here as a sort of a parenthesis, so that the acceptable year of the Lord is on this side. The day of vengeance is on the other side. Now, though, the period of time in which we live matches 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, he saith, "I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation, have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." In other words, for you that are Gentiles listening to my voice today, or whoever you might be, now is the day of salvation. Back here, Israel is the predominant nation. And the Bible said, through the fall of Israel, salvation came to the Gentiles. So I'll say this line here represents Israel. But Israel fell, not necessarily at that point. But Israel has been set aside, and they are, according to the Bible, called Lo Ami, that is, not God's people today. the Old Testament scriptures does not teach people what's going to happen to them during that period of time when Israel has fallen. For instance, the Old Testament prophet knew of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew the place of the birth. He knew the time of his birth. All those things. He knew about Jesus Christ's ministry. He knew about the ministry of the 12 apostles, as in Isaiah chapter 8. He knew about Judas Iscariot, the Old Testament prophet. Prophesied that Judas would betray the Lord. He prophesied that Jesus would die. But he didn't know that he was dying for your sins. But he knew he was going to die. He knew that he was going to be buried, rise again, and he prophesied that he would send forth the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament prophet, he knew of the coming of the Antichrist and the time of Jacob's trouble of Isaiah chapter 30. All of those things he knew about, but he did not know. In other words, he knew of the fall of Israel. He knew there was a day that Israel would be Lo Ami and not God's people. But he did not know. It never even entered his mind to know that there would be a day while Israel is fallen that salvation would be through something called the body of Christ, and that that is predominantly Gentile. Romans 11 is about that doctrine. Turn to Romans chapter 11 in your Bible. In Romans chapter 11, verse 11, I say then in they, a reference there to Israel. In the context, it's Israel as a nation. Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall. Not through their rise. Not through them accepting Christ and the nation being established or the church of Matthew 16 being established. No. Not through that the salvation come to the Gentiles, but through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. In other words, the Gentile salvation that's referred to in the context has nothing to do with people being saved through the ministry of Israel. That'll come on the other side. Israel will rise on the other side. Israel will be gathered back into their land. Elijah will preach unto them. Jesus Christ said that he'll restore all things. Israel will be saved at the second coming of Christ, and Gentiles at that point will be saved in the millennium. But not in here. That's not the issue in here. In here, Gentiles are saved without Israel, and Israel can get saved one by one through the ministry of Gentiles. Look at that. Come to verse 28. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God without repentance. Verse 30. For as you, the context is Gentiles, you Gentiles, as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. In other words, they didn't believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They didn't believe that the one that was crucified at Calvary was the one that was prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures. They didn't believe in him, and they didn't trust him. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preached a murder indictment against them, and he said, in effect, you've taken and you've crucified the Messiah. You have rejected the Son of God, and God hath raised him up, and so forth. He did the same thing again in chapter 3, but they did not repent. They did not turn to the Lord. In other words, he told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. In other words, they would have recognized that the one that was crucified at Calvary was in fact the Messiah, the Son of God, the Prince of Life, and so forth. But they didn't do that. And so in Acts chapter 7, Stephen preaches unto them, and he finally says, you uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. And they gnashed on him of their teeth, and they stoned him to death. They killed him. Well, back there was the acceptable day of the Lord. But they didn't accept him. As a result, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. In other words, God is going to get vengeance. But whoa, wait a minute, that isn't all. We live in a time now that's called grace. You live in a day that God Almighty will let you have your way right now. You can curse God. You can sneer. You can laugh at the preachers. You can call preachers Bible thumpers and belittle them and put them down and whatever. And God will let you do it. But you make no mistake about it. Vengeance belongs to God. And in that day of vengeance, you that have rejected Jesus Christ, you that have preached against and blasphemed his name, and on, vengeance belongs to him. God is going to burn you unless you trust Christ, your Lord and Savior. And I see all these people, oh, they are horrible. That individual is so horrible. I cannot imagine a God that would burn people. Well, you don't have a God anyway, if that's your attitude. The God of this Bible is a God of grace and a God of mercy. The God of this Bible realized that you had nothing to do with the place of your birth, of the time of your birth. The God of this Bible realized that you didn't choose to be born. You didn't choose your parents, and you didn't choose to be born in sin, but you were. You were. You were born with a sinful nature about you. You were born with a rebellious nature about you. And God, knowing that you didn't have anything to do with that, had mercy on you. He had compassion on you. And he gave his son to die for you at Calvary. God knew that you didn't have a choice in the matter. You didn't choose to be mean and ornery and the sinner that you are. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none good, no, not one. The Bible said there's none that seeketh after God. The Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible said their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. The poison of asp is under their tongues, and the way of peace have they never known, and on. God knew you'd be that way, and that you didn't choose to be born with that nature about you, but God had compassion on you, and he said, I will love you, and God gave his son to die for you to give you a choice. You have a choice today. You can choose salvation. You can choose life, or you can choose death. You can choose the fire. The fire is in the future, as sure as you're listening to my voice. And don't you blame God Almighty. Don't you tell me about the horrible idea of a horrible God that would pour out his wrath on people. God is going to pour out his wrath. You choose to be in it or escape it. It's your choice. You will make it. You'll either choose to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, believing that he died for your sins at Calvary, or you'll reject him and choose the fire. But don't you blame God. The fire is going to come. You can just go on into the fire, or you can go up before the fire, but it's your choice. God gave you that choice. We're brainwashed in America today to believe that anybody that really preaches the truth has to be some sobbing fancy pants with such a sweet disposition, such a honey bunny, syrupy, earthy attitude and whatever. No, that's not the way it is at all. I've preached before that there are people who live life today that if they would have known the Lord Jesus Christ, they wouldn't have liked him. Jesus Christ didn't have an earthy, surfy attitude. He said unto some religious leaders of his day, he said, you vipers, you snakes, you hypocrites. Some people said unto the Lord, don't you know that you've offended those people? And he walked away saying, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. So what's all this about? It's about the fact that fire is going to come. the wrath is going to fall. And God gave you an opportunity to select life. You can choose life. You can receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, for in Christ is life. The Bible said that in Him is life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The Bible said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Make no mistake about it. You choose Jesus Christ as your Savior, believing that He died for your sins at Calvary, believing that He paid for your sins by His death at Calvary, and one day the Lord will take you out of this world. He will snatch you out of this world, change your vile body, and make it like unto His glorious body, and take you up before the wrath falls. But if you reject His Son, you're in effect saying, I'll take my chances in the wrath. I'll choose the wrath. You know what you're really saying? You're saying, I don't believe that anyway. Well, just hang around. It's going to come. The wrath of God abideth upon you right now, according to the Bible. Now, back in Romans chapter 11, the Bible said, through the fall of Israel, salvation came to the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. So Israel, one by one, any Jew, any Israelite that wants salvation today, they can get it. How? Through the church, which is the body of Christ. They can get it through the preaching and the teaching of the gospel of Christ. It pleased God, the Bible said, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What is it that they must preach for individuals to be saved? The gospel of Christ, which is the truth. What is that? That Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that He was buried, but He rose again. Don't you believe that God Almighty is going to accept you because that you get down on your knees and put your forehead on the floor and you stay in that position praying to your God hours at the time? Don't you believe that's going to change anything? Don't you believe that you're going to be able to get out of your seat somewhere in a church building, come down to an altar and begin praying and repenting and turning everything over and whatever and giving up this and giving up that, and that God's going to receive you for that? No way is He going to do that. If God Almighty will receive you because you do that at an altar, then God Almighty is a horrible individual for having given His Son to die for you when you could have been saved without it. No, there is no salvation for you outside of you believing the gospel. What is the gospel? That Jesus Christ died for our sins and that He was born, but He rose again. What is the good news? That God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. What is the good news? That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and so forth and so on. Can you be saved today? Absolutely. How? By believing on Christ and trusting Him as your Lord and Savior, believing that He died for all your sins. Can you be saved today? Yeah, how? By turning your case, turning your salvation over to the Lord. Quit working for it. Quit trying to get through to God. Quit trying to straighten up your life to be acceptable to God. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Jesus Christ died for enemies. Jesus Christ died for the ungodly, the Bible said. Therefore, salvation is free to you through what Christ did for you at Calvary. You can be saved right now. But you must make the choice. You must accept Christ. There is no other way. Now back in Romans 11, verse 31, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. In other words, through the church, which is predominantly Gentile, Israelites, Jews, whatever they are, can come to God today by believing that same gospel. Now, make no mistake about it. There is no separate ways for Islamites, Shemites, Hamites, Catholics, Methodist, Baptist, Buddhists, on it. There is no separate ways for them to get to God. There's just one way today. What is it? It's in the gospel. What is that? Well, the Bible, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. You understand? There is a way today, and yet at the same time, there's a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What is the way that seems right? Religion. Men go into temples and they get out on their knees and they put their head down on the floor or on a pad or whatever, and they stay there and they writhe and they agonize and they pray to their God. Waste of time. Why? There's only one way of salvation. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Yes, you. Jesus Christ died for your sins. You as a person, you as a human being, God loved you and delivered up his son for you and sent someone to preach the gospel to you to give you the choice. You can choose his son today. Worshiping Buddha won't get you to heaven. It won't get you out of this world alive. That isn't all. Worshiping Mary won't do a thing for you. You can go into some temple somewhere, make the sign of the cross, get on your knees, look up to a statue up there, and carry on all the things you carry on as you count your beads and whatever. That won't get you out of this world. You want to get out of this world alive? You want to miss the wrath? You want to miss the fire? I can tell you how you can do it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I can tell you how you can do it. Trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, believing that he died for your sins at Calvary, and God will receive you. Be assured that's the way it is. If you've got a Bible, I don't care if your Bible is a so-called Catholic or Methodist or Presbyterian, it doesn't make any difference to me. There is one book that never changes called the King James Bible. Now, anybody that believes in God because of a Bible. It's out of the Bible that I find about God. Somebody say, why? The Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God. That's right. It's the Bible that told you that the heavens declare the glory of God. It's through the Bible you know about God. It's through the Bible you know about Jesus Christ. It's through the Bible you know the truth. So what does the Bible say? The Bible says that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The Bible says that the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again. The Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Bible said that Jesus Christ died for sinners. You a sinner? Have you ever seen yourself as a sinner? The Bible said that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. I asked a person in Mobile, Alabama one night, I asked this lady, I said, can you remember a time in your life when you, as a lost sinner, trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? That woman said, I've never been a lost sinner. Well, Jesus Christ came to save the lost. He came to save sinners. Paul, a blasphemer, was saved by the grace of God as a result of his believing in Jesus Christ and trusting that Jesus Christ died for his sins. Salvation free right now. But you reject it and you'll get the wrath. The text where we started today is clear. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I've heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. This day of grace that we live in is the day of salvation, but the day of vengeance is coming. The day of wrath is coming. You've got a choice. Will you make that choice right now? Don't worry about your religion. Choose Jesus Christ. Choose to believe that he died for your sins. Trust him right now. Whatever you do, trust him right now as your Savior. Accept him right where you are, right now, as your Lord and Savior, and confess him to God as your Savior today. I thank you for listening. Until next time, good day.